We are live on the Conversations That Matter podcast. I'm your host, John Harris. I know we just did a live stream last night, but there's some breaking news this morning. And I was going to initially record this episode with Judd Saul, but I decided to go live to break the news so you know what's going on and answer any questions. So if you are live streaming with us and you have questions for Judd about the situation in Nigeria among our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ, please send that to the channel, whether it's YouTube, X, or Facebook. I will see it. Judd Saul is a personal friend of mine. He is the head of Equipping the Persecuted, which helps our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. He also heads up Truth Nigeria, which is an organization that provides news concerning that conflict. And he has been probably one of the main informants for our own government in monitoring the situation over there. Judd Saul also, and I will mention this because this is where we got connected, worked or was the director and producer of the Enemies Within the Church film. And that's where I got involved because I was interviewed for it. And we went around the country from like 2019 to 2021, supporting the film, talking about the film, promoting the film. And so he's a great American patriot, a great friend, and a great Christian. Welcome to the podcast once again, Judd.
Hey, thanks for having me on, John. Good to see you again.
Yeah, likewise. A lot has happened. I know every time we did a episode on Nigeria, which was usually annually, I would say, what's new? What's going on? What's different than what you talked about last time? And there were always developments and things, but I always emphasize we need an angle that's fresh for the people who listened to the last episode, just to sort of update them, but also why is this important? Why should they care about this? And now, I mean, it's like an avalanche. Things have really changed since the last time we talked. So I want you to catch us up. What's going on in Nigeria?
Well, what's happened is now President Trump has finally acknowledged what's going on in Nigeria. He came out with a very strong statement saying, stop the killing of Christians or we're going to come in guns a-blazing. And since then, it's been a very difficult process to catch up the federal government into following Trump's directive. And this is something we've been working on for several years, trying to raise awareness and let people know that there's a genocide against Christians. And the Nigerian government has been spending a lot of money trying to tell the world that there's no persecution of Christians. There's no genocide of Christians. Nothing's happening here. We just have security issues. It's farmer herder clashes, tribal disputes. Climate change is the cause for all this death. And Bill Maher came out and talked about Nigeria. And then Nicki Minaj from out of nowhere started talking about Nigeria. So the world is now focused and paying attention to the genocide of Christians in Nigeria for once. I mean, it has been widely ignored for so long. No one's been paying attention. But now people are starting to see what's really happening. Now, the breaking news for right now, and thank you for bringing me on to talk about this, is since I created Truth Nigeria in early 2023, we've been documenting all the attacks, documenting the massacres, the slaughter of Christians. Since January 1st this year, over 7,800 Christians have been killed in Nigeria with very little media attention to the actual attacks. They say the number, but when there's an attack that happens, there's no world media showing up to that location doing 24-hour news coverage when attacks occur. So when we started Truth Nigeria, the locals and the local villages and the local communities trust us with information. We have earned that trust with local villages and Christian communities. So we've been able to start gathering intelligence where they are telling us, hey, we see the Fulani Muslims gathering over here. We just saw 50 Fulani Muslims with machine guns on motorcycles drive by. They give us information of movements of the terrorists, which the Nigerian government does nothing to stop the terrorists. In fact, they enable the terrorists. They're complicit in the killings. But that being said, we gain the trust. So I was in D.C. last week speaking at a couple of events. about Nigeria and the persecution of Christians. And what has happened, and I had intelligence last week, very credible intelligence from our sources on the ground, that the Fulani Muslims were gathering in the areas, specifically in the Nasarawa Plateau border, the Nasarawa Kaduna border, and the Nasarawa Benue border. And in Plateau, they were planning on attacking Bokos, Barkinladi, LGA, Riom. And then in Kaduna, they're planning attacking the Kafachan area. And then in Benue, they're planning attacking the Agatu area. Now, I said this last week, and I gathered the intelligence. I sent it to the State Department. I sent it to Congressman Riley Moore. The intelligence was given to the Nigerian government. And in the last 4 days, 20 Christians have been slaughtered in the areas that I've been warning about. And just last night, 12 Christians were killed, 9 wounded, and 3 kidnapped in the exact area that I said, and this is in Barkinladi region. This was in Barkinladi. We said this is one of the areas they plan to attack, and they killed 12 Christians last night. Wounded 9, and 3 have been kidnapped.
Here's a map of Nigeria. I don't know if this is the best map. Okay. Can try to pull up another one.
So you see the JOS in the middle, JOS. Yeah. All right. That is, so just a little south of JOS is where I warned about the attacks.
Okay. Right across the river there.
Right across the river, right in that region where you see JOS. That is the area I said they are planning to attack. Specifically, we said, okay, Barkinladi, which is a very specific area. And this is the area they got hit last night where 12 Christians were killed. Now, here's a crazy thing. Okay. I came out with that terror alert, John, and the Nigerian president said that my terror alert was a lie.
The Nigerian president said this.
President Tinubu of Nigeria said that my alert was a lie.
Huh. Here's the area Judd's talking about here a little better. Barkinladi is kind of smack dab in the middle,
right,
of Nigeria. I'm just curious about the, well, obviously everyone is, why would the president of Nigeria, and by name, it sounds like he called you out by name and said, or your organization, and said they're lying.
Said our alert intelligence was a lie.
Okay. We have a lot to unpack with this, and I am going to bring up Tucker Carlson in a moment here, 'cause I want you to respond to something he said on his show. But I think we have to establish first where the Nigerian government is with this. And I know you have all kinds of constraints and things you have to watch out for. So obviously, try to be as careful while being as informative as you can in this. Mm-hmm. Where's the Nigerian government at with this particular situation?
They're nowhere to be found. There's no police or military intervention. Of course, the police and military show up after all these Christians are killed. The bodies are laying on the ground. And they're like, oh, this is a terrible tragedy. This is terrible that this has happened. Yet they have not gone in pursuit of the killers. And the fact of the matter is that they know where the killers are. They know where the camps are. They know where they are gathering. The military knows this.
Mm-hmm.
The Nigerian Security Service actually came out and said that despite what the president said, people in the Nigerian Security Service said that our intel was fairly accurate before the attacks. So the intel is there. The Nigerian government had the intelligence, and the police and the military did nothing.
There's some news stories coming out right now, just like within the last hour, talking about this. Here's leadership.ng. So I'm not even sure if this is a great website or not, but they're reporting 11 seconds ago. That's how new it is. Gunman kills 12 miners in Plateau region. So this is the story you're talking about. I'm sure if you haven't gotten one up yet, is there one on Truth Nigeria yet?
It's not on Truth Nigeria yet, because we are, yeah, when we put up articles, we go further investigation and get a lot more details than just a headline.
Okay. And last year, go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Last year, there was a Christmas Day massacre.
Yes.
And this was, how many people died in that?
I believe over 100 were killed last year. The year before in 2023, there was about 300-400 killed.
Okay. Total, give us an example of the scope of this over the last decade. I mean, how many Christians are we talking?
In the last decade, 50,000 Christians have been killed, at least.
So that, you would say genocide level.
Genocide level. Oh, yeah. Genocide level. Yeah. I mean, and it's gone up this year. I mean, 7,800. On average, it's about 5,000 per year or less. This year, it's been 7,800. So the attacks have ramped up. The government complicity has just gotten exponentially worse. Maybe it's because that they demoted military generals and military commanders and put Fulani in charge.
So
maybe there's a correlation there.
So I have so many questions about Nigerian government and all of that, but I want to talk about our government a little bit first, because that's one of the big changes that's happened is our government is applying pressure, or Trump wants to apply pressure. And you've been involved in conversations, because I know you've posted pictures of it, with various senators, congressmen about this and members of the administration.
Yeah.
What specifically is going on? How are they applying pressure, or have they yet to apply pressure? And if so, what would that look like? What on the ground would take place if and when the United States does anything about it?
Let me be very blunt and honest as to what's happening with our government. Okay. We have the Trump directives. We have people that he has appointed that are in lockstep in wanting to deal with this issue. Okay. But we have a bunch of bureaucrats, unelected people working in various levels of the State Department and intelligence agency that still swear to this day that there's no genocide going on, that it's just tribal clashes. And we have people in our own embassy that are fighting the Trump directives. So I have reliable word that the deputy chief of mission in Abuja is not on board with this message that there's a Christian genocide.
Why?
Why? Because they have the woke mind virus, to be perfectly honest. These are probably Democrat-leaning leftist people within the State Department that refuse to acknowledge that there are Christians being slaughtered in Nigeria, that there is a genocide.
Why is it we will give so much aid to countries like Ukraine or even Israel? And frankly, on Israel, it's both sides, because we'll also give to the Palestinian people. Why is it when we get involved in those things, it's universal? We hear it from both sides of the aisle. We hear about the innocents who are dying. And in this particular situation, it's silence and resistance to caring about the issue at all.
Because there's not enough money being put forward for people to care about the issue.
Okay. So people in Ukraine, people in Israel, people in Palestine all have high profile representation on some level to draw attention.
High profile representation, billions and billions of dollars flowing into these conflicts to help the conflicts to, you know, fight this war. There's just no money in Nigeria as far as, you know, getting all the attention in the narrative and drawing all the attention and focus. And the other fact of the matter is that it's politically incorrect to say Muslims are killing Christians in Nigeria. And so the mainstream media doesn't want to touch it. You can forget the European Union. Those guys are, forget it. They've left the reservation. They are nuts.
So
with the woke mind virus. So they won't right. acknowledge and pay attention to what's going on.
So let's just put all the cards on the table here. The Nigerian Christians have no representation, basically.
No.
They have you. They have you, and they have the Christians in the United States that are starting to become aware of their plight. And the Trump Correct. Administration, at least at the top, says we care about this. I don't know if that means trade sanctions. I'm not really sure what that means, but they're interested in trying to at least bring awareness to it to do something.
Yes.
And on the other side, you have Boko Haram. Well, you mentioned another group. Tell me what that looks like. What groups are involved in killing the Christians? And then who is funding them on the world stage?
So here's the part that people have to understand with Nigeria. You have Boko Haram. You have ISIS of West Africa. They're two rival terrorist organizations but they still have the same goal of turning Nigeria into a caliphate. Okay. But then you have the Fulani ethnic militia, who are also radical Islamists that are hell-bent in turning Nigeria into a Muslim caliphate. And then once all the Christians are wiped out, these three factions will fight each other over the territory. But they work together. They do work together to further take more territory and gain control.
So they're all different. Are they all different flavors of Islam, or are they all, I would assume,
they all practice a very radical Sunni form of Islam that came out of Saudi Arabia. The same as Al-Qaeda, the same as ISIS. They all have that same, except the Fulani have a tribal superiority with the radical Islam, and they believe that Nigeria is theirs. So as long as they're all taking over territory, they're working with each other.
Let me ask you this. You said Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia obviously has tremendous influence. So does, the United Arab Emirates and Qatar and other countries in that particular region. I am curious because I know Qatar, and I've just become more aware of this. I did not know this a few years ago. And even a few weeks ago, I didn't know the extent, but Qatar has been investing a lot of money into our universities, also now into media, Hollywood. I did not realize how close of a connection some of our members of the administration and senators have, people like Pam Bondi, people like Lindsey Graham. So I would be surprised if they weren't somehow involved in a way, just because of how many terrorist links connections that they already have with previous organizations like Al-Qaeda, like the Muslim Brotherhood.
Qatari money is flowing like crazy all over the world to spread Islam. In whatever way they want to spread it, it's to spread Islam. So they're dumping money in the education system. They're dumping money in the media, into Hollywood, even into conservative podcasters. We'll go on.
Are they doing it in Nigeria? Is what I'm asking.
There's a well-funded operation by Qatar. It's not just Qatar. There's other Middle Eastern countries that are dumping money into the United States. For education, to promote Islamist propaganda. They're doing it, but they're also doing it in Nigeria. I mean, they are funding, they're funding trips for Fulani people to go to Mecca and do all that. There's, we know that certain Fulani terror commanders and terrorists have been sent to the Middle East for military training and have come back. So there's a lot of funding from the Middle East going in this. I mean, they're continuing the jihad. And if the Christians are eradicated from Nigeria and it's Muslim controlled, that's better for the Islamic communities because they can go back into their slave trading. They can go back into their organ harvesting operations. They can get part of the minerals, the oil, everything that they're currently doing in Nigeria.
China's also in Nigeria, right?
Yes.
And do they have any involvement, or do they care about this?
China is a beneficiary of the instability. They don't care who wins or who does what, as long as they can mine wherever they want to mine. And
this attack was at a mine, right?
Well, this attack was at an artisanal mine.
Is that a Chinese?
No, it was just locals. It's just locals, getting there, trying to earn their $2 a day. In whatever tin or whatever metals they could find. It was an easy target for them.
Okay. I hear a lot about how in Israel, America needs to continue to supply resources because the conflict with international Islam is so great, which I think it is. Obviously, if you look at Europe, there so many Muslims have gone into these countries. It has now become a problem. My question is Nigeria also a place like that? Because if Muslims are killing Christians in Nigeria, and these are, for you and me, our brothers and sisters in the faith.
Yeah.
Is that a place? And I think you know this about me. I don't like being, at least on a governmental level, involved. I just because of the position the United States is, I would prefer to try to disentangle ourselves from a lot of foreign affairs. But I am wondering if we're going to be involved in this. We already are. We have bases all over the world, all of that. Isn't Nigeria either just as or more of a strategic place for us to be involved, given that it's a Christian population?
We need to look at one, just as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to protect our, we need to protect Christians.
Right.
We need to protect our fellow brothers and sisters. From a geopolitical standpoint, if Nigeria falls, so goes the rest of Africa.
And okay. China, that's what I wanted to hear.
And China and Russia will own all of Africa in partnership with, you know, with the radical Islamists. You look at every radical Islamist regime that has been created, you can tie it to the Russians and you can tie it to also Chinese connections.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you look at Iran, look at Iran and what happened there. We had a Western friendly Shah of Iran. The Russians came in, they backed the Ayatollah. They spread communist propaganda with young revolutionary guard and revolutionaries. The communists and Islam worked together to overthrow the Shah. And now you have an Iran, which is a Muslim dictatorship. But the Russians are still doing business there. The Russians still have, they consider Iran an ally.
Yeah. Well, I think this is sort of the East versus West thing. If you read any Alexander Dugin, he talks about Iran and Russia and China being somewhat of a national, they want a certain kind of nationalism, and they're an alliance against the globalist West. And so this is like a very positive thing. So I maybe that is the angle that makes sense of that. I want to get back to specifically Nigeria here, though, since that's what you're an expert in. There was a clip. Excuse me. Something went down the wrong hole there. There was a clip from Tucker Carlson I'd like to play. You probably saw it, if you wouldn't mind. Is that okay?
Sure.
And he makes some, and his guest, Robert Amsterdam, makes some accusations. Tell us a little bit about Robert Amsterdam.
Robert Amsterdam is a mercenary lawyer for hire. The dude don't get out of bed unless he's getting at least $500,000 retainer to do something. And so Robert Amsterdam's experience in Nigeria is working with the elites, in Nigeria. And one of his clients, ironically, was a guy by the name of El Rufai, who actually was an architect of killing Christians in Nigeria. And that was one of Robert Amsterdam's clients. So for Robert Amsterdam to come on Tucker Carlson and say, there's no genocide in Nigeria, I know these people, he's full of crap, and he's actually laying cover for his radical Islamist clients that are paying him a lot of money.
All of a sudden, it's a kind of centerpiece of the conversation. What is the truth? You've been in and out of Nigeria for how long?
50 years,
1975. Is that correct?
Yes.
It's a long time. So you know Nigeria pretty well.
I do.
What is the truth about what's going on? Well, and I ask because you've got credibility. You know the country. And you're spending the rest of your life defending Christians around the world. Tell me what the actual truth of Christian persecution in Nigeria is.
Let's stop there just for a moment. You already addressed some of this, but Tucker sets him up as someone who has credibility and who defends Christians around the world. So you are saying he's kind of a gun for hire. What about the claim that he defends Christians around the world? Is that accurate?
Not entirely, but he's a mercenary for hire. He'll defend anybody if they got the cash.
Okay.
Let's be very clear that the Nigerian government is populated by Christians and Muslims. Mm-hmm. I have represented in his earlier life the national security advisor of Nigeria when he was a young man. And he's a lovely individual and caring and universally respected in terms of religious issues.
Okay, yeah, you're making noises. So what do you disagree with there?
He's a lovely man. He's a wonderful man. The national security advisor is also an architect and has laid cover and helped the killing of Christians for the last 10 years. So he's saying they're wonderful people. They're wonderful people. The current national security advisor is calling me a liar. The current national security advisor is calling Bishop Anagbe and Father Remy out of Benway liars who have had many of their priests killed, many of their priests kidnapped, people in their, I mean, this guy is laying cover for genocidal maniacs. And you say, oh, they got a good heart. They're good people. And then the whole lie that, well, there's Christians and Muslims in government. It's they all get along. False. For the last, over 10 years, you've had Muslim presidents. This time around, you have a Muslim ticket, Muslim president, Muslim vice president. They've demoted all the Christians in the military, Christian generals. They forced them to retire. They put Muslims in charge in the police and in the military apparatus. The only Christians that are in power are in name only and just figureheads. The Christians hold no power right now. None.
So this is the National Security Advisor, Nuhu Ribadu?
Ribadu, yes.
Okay, so he's saying that you're not telling the truth.
Tinubu said, I'm a liar, said that our intel is lies.
Well, I want to keep going with the clip, let's keep going with the clip, and then I have a number of questions.
About Muslim, but universally respected. In my adopted family in Lagos, mm-hmm. the Odesanya family sort of adopted me when I was a very, very young man and living there. I sort of have a half brother there, Dapo Odesanya. That family is a totally integrated family, Muslim, Christian. I was always teased that I was a Yoruba, which is a Jewish Yoruba. But I mean, there have always been tribal conflict. I spoke to the foreign minister before I came here because I wanted to get clarity on the government's position. Absolutely, let's be clear, President Tinubu's wife is a Christian pastor. This is not targeted at Christians. There are probably an equal or more number of Muslim deaths.
Nope.
Lie. I am grateful to President Trump for identifying these attacks on Christians. Believe it or not, you can blame some of this on the French who had this.
I do. I know nothing about it, but I believe you anyway.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I mean,
I know nothing about it, but I believe you anyway. Ha ha ha. Christians are dying. Ha 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 ha. My name's Tucker. Ha ha ha.
Okay. Well, you know, it doesn't sound like you care for Tucker much. I mean, I understand when you have a friend that you trust who's been honest with you in the past, you have no reason not to believe someone like that. I mean, that's why we're having this conversation. But just because, if it's just because, well, the narrative sounds like something I like or something familiar, not necessarily. So the narrative you just heard was Bob Amsterdam saying you can blame a lot of this on the French. It's not a Christian Muslim thing. He acted like the Christian and Muslims really get along. They don't have problems with each other. And as evidence for that, is it Tinubu, the president? His wife is a Christian pastor. Clear this up for us. Is that true that you have Christians in the government? And
okay, look, there's a lot of people running around Nigeria that call themselves pastors that are nothing but, and they hold that title. They hold it name only, and she probably holds that for political reasons. But I can guarantee you she's not lifting a finger to protect persecuted Christians. She's enjoying the fruits of being Tinubu's wife and raking in the millions of dollars flowing into their corrupt presidency. I'm just saying, that's the way it is. You know, we have Catholic priests and bishops running around saying, there's no genocide happening. Well, if you look at it, we find out they're actually on the take from the government to say that.
Okay. So you have not in your endeavors, and you are the most, how do I put this? As an American, at least, and maybe this is international as well, you would be the most involved organization in helping Christians in Nigeria.
Yes.
Persecution. Okay, that's if that's the case, you would expect at some point you would have heard from elected officials, including the wife of the president, but you have not, is what you're saying.
No, nothing.
Okay. And she doesn't talk about this at all.
Nothing. No, no, no. Doesn't talk about the killing of Christians. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Doesn't make any statements. Nothing.
And
And every time that there is a massacre or a major attack, they'll say unknown gunmen. They'll say it's bandits. They won't say who's doing the killing. The president, the Nigerian presidency and the Nigerian government and his wife are laying cover for the genocide in Nigeria.
Are there families that have mixed Christian and Muslim that get along? And if so, where is that more in upper echelons? Because they're sort of secular globalists.
Yes. I say that's more in the secular, the more secular aspect. So the people Bob Amsterdam's talking about are Nigerian elite. These are Nigerian millionaires and billionaires, the billionaire class. They don't, you know. So yeah, there's integrated families throughout Nigeria. More in the south, in Lagos, especially what he's talking about, which is dominated by Christians. The Christian south, it's fully dominated by Christians.
So would it be fair to say, now I don't know.
So, real quick. So the Muslims have no other option than to integrate and play nice.
Okay, so how big is Nigeria?
Nigeria has 220 million population.
How big in size, though?
How big in size? I would say it's like Texas and a half.
Okay, so it's pretty large. Yeah. I mean, all right. If you're someone who just flies into Dallas, you know, you don't see the rest of Texas. You would get an impression of Texas that is obviously not accurate. Correct. Are these the people, the Christians being persecuted, that are out in redneck areas? Are they in the country where you wouldn't have a concept of this if you were in urban industrial areas?
Correct. Yeah, if you're in Lagos, you have no idea what it's like living up north.
I see.
You have no idea what it's like in Josh. You have no idea what it's like in Plateau. And they're of different tribes. So you have different tribes in the south and different, and you have the Yoruba, you have the Igbo, you have, and they're different tribes. And the Yoruba and the Igbo in the south do not really intervene or care about what's happening to the Christians in the north because they're of a different tribe.
All right. So there is a tribal element here.
There is. Yes.
All right. But it's not, that's not the, that doesn't explain the conflict that Muslims against Christians are having. That's
right. Well, they're just working their way down. I mean, they're just working their way down. If the, as the Muslims continue their way south, they're going to hit more Igbo. They're going to hit the Yoruba more. It'll eventually come to them if something isn't done.
I see. Okay. So the tribal element does explain some things, but it's not the only dynamic at play.
Right.
And to reduce the conflict to a tribal thing, the tribal element, it sounds like you're saying, actually could account for the fact that someone like a Bob Amsterdam may be parroting a narrative from the more elite and urban areas that he's involved with, instead of being aware of what's happening on the countryside.
Yeah, instead of smoking cigars and drinking the whiskey in the luxury hotels that are in Lagos and in Abuja, I'd like to see him take his happy butt over to Plateau and see what real Nigeria looks like.
Yeah, well, I you're frustrated, and I want the audience to understand. Judd, I think, is actually being very measured right now. He literally is in charge of the organization that's doing more for Nigerian Christians than anyone, and 12 of them were killed last night. I mean, this isn't a small thing. We're talking about real people here. Yeah. That died. And it was something that you warned them about. You warned the government, you warned our government, and you were ignored is what you've told me, essentially.
Yeah, we've been ignored. And going back to the situation of our government poop show is we have people that want to do the right thing that are politically appointed by Trump that want to do the right thing. And then you have a bureaucratic class that's fighting us. And people in the intelligence community and people within the State Department that are fighting us for whatever reason. Right. And this is the roadblock we're having, and action needs to be taken now. And I think more people need to get fired and let go. And for the love of God, let's get rid of our current ambassador to Nigeria, Ambassador Mills. Let's get rid of that guy and let's get a good guy in Nigeria that actually cares about the people there.
See, this is one of the reasons I like you, Judd, because you're literally working in the country and you're willing to call a spade, because I think most organizations would be very careful about not offending the ambassador of their country who's in the country that they want to be active in, but you are not. You are willing to be a bull in a china shop. And I mean, look, I understand there's people
if you can't identify the problem, we can't fix the problem.
Right.
And exactly. I'm telling you, we got a problem with Ambassador Mills and the deputy chief of mission in the Abuja embassy. We need people in there that actually look outside their windows and acknowledge what's happening in their backyard.
Are any other Christian organizations like Voice of the Martyrs, or I don't know who else is involved there, are they willing to say the things you're saying? Are they willing
No. All right. All those organizations are scared of politics. They don't get involved in politics. And that's what makes us controversial, is because we get our hands dirty and we say the politically incorrect things that need to be said.
And you should. All right, let's keep going.
We're not a dog and pony show. I don't just go into a country, take photo ops, and send one heart-wrenching story with a bunch of photos, and then say, you know, send us $1 million. And you don't know what's actually happening with that money.
Right.
We're not a dog and pony show organization. We're actually trying to stop the persecution. And that's what separates us from a lot of these other organizations.
Well, I want you to make a pitch at the end here. Let's keep going with Bob Amsterdam and Tucker Carlson here.
Sorry.
They had a massive force in the Sahel. They armed the Tuaregs, which are a notoriously aggressive tribal group. That arming has led to mass killings of Christians. The fact that when Libya blew apart, a massive amount of arms went down to Boko Haram can't be denied by anyone. Nigeria wants to consult with the United States. Nigeria wants assistance in protecting Christians and Muslims, protecting their populations. Nigeria feels it has not had a fair shake from Washington. And I'm not, I don't work for Nigeria. I'm not going to go on and on. The foreign minister is a close friend who I respect deeply. But I can tell you from my work, I was privileged to represent one of the Nigerian states years ago at Quaibom. We won a case, actually, for them. The Nigerians would welcome American assistance with open arms. So this is unlike Ukraine, which is destroying its church, or Armenia, which is destroying its church. Here you have a government that wants to protect its populace, doesn't have the resources. Nobody's going to deny Nigeria's been racked by corruption all the years I've known it. But
let's just stop there, because that's a lot that the Nigerians, the country's elite, the government, they actually do want the United States to send resources to help them with this problem, even though it's not really a persecution issue, it's a tribal issue. But I guess they can clamp down on the tribal feuds if the United States gets involved. Is that true?
I wonder how much they're paying him to spout all this BS.
You think? Okay, there.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how much the Nigerian government shifted the money to him to spout all this BS and nonsense.
Does it have to be direct payments? It could just be that he's involved
No. Look, I know the Nigerian government is paying buku dollars to lobbyists, to all sorts of people to fight the narrative that there is no Christian genocide. I mean, they're fighting this narrative and they're spending a lot of money to do it.
Why?
Because they're profiting off the instability. And they are also succeeding in their objective of stealing more Christian land and eradicating Christians from their land. So
the government is,
we have Fulani in the government. And that's the thing. Mr. Amsterdam did not mention the Sahel is filled with Fulani. He didn't mention the Fulani by name for a reason, because the Fulani are the ones that are wreaking havoc in Africa. From the north, they've invaded Nigeria. They've taken over large chunks of Cameroon. They're trying to work their way into other African countries. These are the Fulani tribe that are doing this. But he wouldn't mention them by name. Why? Because he's being paid by the Fulani.
That's what you think.
I wouldn't doubt it. I would not doubt it one iota, because There's a reason he omitted the name Fulani, because the Fulani are the ones that are responsible for killing the mass majority of Christians in the Middle Belt.
So what you're saying is, even if this is just, even if it's tribal, you mentioning the Fulani is just kind of a common sense, knowing anything about the region.
Yes.
Expectation to, you know, talk about them. And okay.
Correct. Here's the crazy thing. When Trump first started talking about Nigeria, the narrative was Boko Haram and ISIS. And the Nigerian government was saying, the Fulani are not a problem. The Fulani are not a problem. They're just herders. They're not a real problem. They're not a real problem. When these are the guys responsible for the vast majority of the killing of Christians. Yeah. So why would you try to omit them when they are the perpetrators?
Well, let's keep going.
They want a new deal, a new relationship with Washington, and in part to assist them in protecting Christians. So when I read some of what I've been reading, you know, I'm never going to say that Ted Cruz isn't a brilliant man. But I'm going to say I might have a little more time in Nigeria than he does. And I would welcome him to speak to the foreign minister or others. Because one thing America doesn't need are more enemies. Africa is the future. I have said it time and time again. I'm privileged to be counsel to the Democratic Republic of the Congo. There is an incredible infrastructure of intelligence in Nigeria that we don't know anything about. All we try to do is sanction and condemn. It is a horrible, horrible part of our policy that we sanction the hell out of everybody. We are responsible for the consolidation of power in Moscow under Putin. If we were not sanctioning the hell out of all these people who had moved to Europe, who knows whether Putin would still be in power?
Exactly. No, that's the truth. I know. It's so.
Okay. I don't want to get into the Putin stuff, but let's focus on Nigeria here. He mentioned the French as being responsible. Now he's actually saying the United States is, it's kind of weird because he's saying the Nigerian government welcomes assistance with those, including Christians who are being killed in tribal conflict. So that's great. But then he sort of switches to saying that actually the United States, and I think this was a warning, if they sanction and they condemn what's happening, if they see that the government or there's powerful people in the country who are responsible for this, that they're going to make it worse. It seems like it's a warning that the involvement from the United States needs to just be aid and not sanctioning that's what I'm hearing. What are you hearing?
No. Yeah, that's exactly what's being said. Wow. This guy's a really good propagandist for the Nigerian government.
But don't condemn us. Don't
Right. Condemn us. We're doing our best. Just give us more money. That's exactly what a lobbyist for Nigeria would say.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. That's what I heard the first time
it. That's all this is. It is Nigerian government propaganda. I guarantee you he's getting money. And he said, well, I looked into this before I went on the Tucker Carlson show. I looked into this because I knew this was going to come up. He's getting paid. Dude's getting paid.
You're making that accusation. I can't. Well, look, I can't without evidence say that I know that or that. But I would at least.
Let's look at the track record. El Rufai, client. Chief, the national security advisor, client. Nigerian government, client. Nigerian state, client. Dude's getting paid.
Oh, he's getting paid. I don't doubt that. But here's the thing that I'm seeing, and it's all circumstantial, but he's saying I talk to members in the government. I think there's an economic opportunity. Africa's the future. You don't want to mess that up. The whole pitch and the associations he has tell me, yes, of course he's being paid for legal work he's doing and all of this. Whether they're paying him as a lobbyist to do this on Tucker, I don't have direct evidence of that. But I would be open to that possibility, given that this is exactly how I would expect a lobbyist for Nigeria to act. Is that fair?
100%. You can say that, but I'll just say dude's getting paid. Okay, you can speculate. All right. I'm saying dude's getting paid. I'm calling a spade a spade. I know it when I see it.
Yeah.
The guy, the guy's, you know, look, he's profiting dead bodies of Christians in Nigeria. He has profited off the dead bodies of Christians in Nigeria.
Why does he blame the French? What's that about?
It's a distraction. It's a total distraction.
Say why or how. It's just, I don't know what the French has anything to do with this.
It has nothing to do with it. The French did some stuff up north in the Sahel. Yes, they did do that. And now you have Benin, which is which they had an attempted coup and takeover there. They were French speaking. They were a French colony in Benin. Parts of Cameroon were French. You have, you know, there were different French colonies, and the French were involved in doing that. Now, if anybody could lay some blame for the hot mess that Nigeria is now, you could lay blame on the British for some of the things they did do and how they colonized Nigeria. You could go back in history and look and look at that. But for saying, oh, the French are responsible for Boko Haram, and but he omitted the Fulani because the Fulani are his clients, the little snake.
Okay. All right. Well, let's finish this up. The interesting part of all this to me is that this made its way onto the Tucker Carlson show, where Tucker's agreeing with everything he said.
Okay. No one said anything about it, but Cruz specifically, but he's all of a sudden kind of out of nowhere, deeply concerned about the plight of Christians in Nigeria, which I want to restate. Maybe a totally valid concern. I don't know. But that's weird. What is that? All of a sudden, everybody's concerned about people who clearly have no track record of being interested in Christians at all, including Ted Cruz. What is going on? Where is this coming from?
Well, in fact, what's interesting is they're calling it a genocide. And a genocide, under international legal terms, requires an intent. And certainly, it's a very strange scenario where you have a government richly populated by Christians, and accusing them of some form of genocide.
The president, whose wife is a Christian pastor. So, but I mean, one thing I do understand is coordinated propaganda, and this is coordinated propaganda. What, I mean, is it?
Look, you know, I can tell you that the Nigerians have no idea where this is coming from. They've wanted Washington's attention since the beginning of the Trump administration. There are 230 million Nigerians who long for a strong relationship with the United States, who are being cultivated by Russia, cultivated by China, cultivated by India, but want to work with America. And we ignore them until we condemn them for a genocide that is absolutely not a genocide. Yes.
Okay. There's a lot there. Let's start with Ted Cruz, because they attacked
Ted Cruz. So Tucker Carlson hates Ted Cruz. So we're going to do a little dig at Ted Cruz, because Tucker Carlson doesn't like Ted Cruz for his support of Israel. We all know that Tucker Carlson hates Ted Cruz. All right. So let me explain Ted Cruz and his interest in Nigeria. One of the largest Nigerian diaspora populations is in Texas. And the Nigerian diaspora population has been working very hard to get the attention of Ted Cruz for many years. Okay. He's been working really, really hard on it, as have been working hard in getting Ted Cruz to recognize things. So it didn't come out of nowhere. This has been an ongoing process for a long time.
Well, I looked it up just real quick because I was curious. Tucker Carlson made a very bold claim that Ted Cruz did not care about persecuted Christians until recently, and that's weird. And I looked it up, and since he's been in Congress, since he's been in the Senate, he has the entire time cared about Christians. And in 2020 specifically, he tried to get the United States to put Nigeria on a list as one of the concerned places. So this has at least been since 2020 in Nigeria, 5 years. Yeah, so for Tucker to say that, and I'm saying this, I'm saying that's an absolute lie. And if Tucker has integrity, I would say he needs to apologize to Ted Cruz for that, because he just lied about him. He slandered him, and it was a careless lie. It was literally a Google search would have helped him. You have any commentary or connections that you've had with Ted Cruz over this that you can shine light on?
Yeah. We've been briefing Ted Cruz's office for several months now doing this. Now, for Tucker Carlson and those that say, well, Nigeria all of a sudden came out. Isn't that weird? Well, I've known since Trump got elected, okay, and we got cues from the administration that they have been trying to fix U.S. policy first before they put any effort and resources into foreign policy. Because we have a big mess to clean up here in the U.S. Am I right? Big mess. So yeah. Now they've achieved a lot of their objectives, got everything lined up. Now they're looking at foreign policy and how they're going to look at Africa. They wanted to fix the U.S. first as much as they could, get that ball rolling. Now look at foreign policy. And was it 6-7 months ago, we were told, hey, just we're aware, but we don't have our people nominated in place yet because we still have all these political appointees that are waiting confirmation. They're not in position yet. So half the people that I met a year ago are no longer in the State Department. They're no longer in those positions. I was just talking into thin air because all the people that I had been working with are gone and have moved to other locations and places. So we've been told we're trying to get our ducks in a row. Then we can address this issue.
Well, let's
from a government standpoint is fair. I believe it's a fair thing to say.
Let's talk about propaganda for a moment. You heard Tucker basically say that the narrative that there's a Christian genocide is coordinated propaganda. What do you say?
Tucker Carlson can kiss my rear end. Tucker Carlson is himself a propagandist. Because what I will tell Tucker Carlson is the dead bodies in Nigeria don't lie. Mm. The dead babies, the dead children, the children that have been had their heads chopped off with machetes, and the mothers that have been burned alive, the thousands of Christians that have been massacred, the dead bodies don't lie. The 800 communities completely wiped off the map don't lie.
Yeah.
The 10,000 destroyed churches, Tucker, don't lie. If you call yourself a Christian and you say that you care about Christianity, you should use your platform to be raising awareness about this because our brothers and sisters are being slaughtered. So I don't know what propaganda game Tucker's got going on, but I can tell you he's lying through his teeth.
And I'll just note this because it's interesting to me. I was actually in a discussion the other day on X with two people separately about this. What's happened in Gaza is extremely sad as well, obviously, but there's more cameras there and more focus on there internationally by a lot than there is in Nigeria. It's not even close. I mean, if what happened last night happened in Gaza, there would have been every news agency would have had a story probably last night, not just a few, you know, localized stories this morning trickling in. So
look what happened in Australia.
Yeah, right. Right.
Okay. They're still talking about Australia. There's still all the news organizations are still in Australia talking about it.
Yeah.
12 Christians were murdered last night. 4 children were murdered 4 days ago in Nigeria. 4 children.
Yeah.
What was their crime? They were eating outside and the Fulani came by and slaughtered them to death. A pastor was killed and his wife was kidnapped. This is just within the last 5 days. No media attention, no news cameras, nothing. Silence.
Yeah.
So Tucker and his wealthy boy, Bob Amsterdam, and the propagandist arm, whatever they're spitting can kiss my rear end. And they're going to, they'll have to answer to God for what they're doing.
What are you doing on the ground there with Equipping the Persecuted? How are you helping? Have you been able to save lives?
So because of our recent terror alerts, we have been saving lives. Villages have been mounting resistance. They're on watch. They're prepared. And we've issued over 125 terror alerts in the last 2 years with 90% accuracy. And when people take action with the terror alerts and they mobilize, they defend their villages or they evacuate, we have saved thousands upon thousands of lives just with our terror alerts. Then with our humanitarian work, we have helped over 500,000 persecuted Christians since we started about 6 years ago. Over 500,000 persecuted Christians have benefited from our organization, whether it's food, whether it's medicine, whether it's rebuilding churches. We now have 1,000 widows we support monthly. Many of them whose husbands were murdered, pastors that have all been murdered by terrorists. We have 1,000 widows we support monthly. We have an orphanage of 30 children, all whose parents have been killed by terrorism. I have 2 K-12 schools serving 500 kids of persecuted Christians. We have been doing everything we can to save lives in Nigeria. And we also respond to these attacks within 48 hours with food, medicine, and aid. The 12 that were murdered yesterday, we're helping cover the cost of the funeral. And the 9 wounded that are in the hospital, we're paying for their surgeries to help them recover. We're doing everything we can to help our persecuted brothers and sisters with the resources we have. But our organization wants to stop the persecution, and that's why we get involved with terror alerts, with warnings, working with village security teams, installing village alarm systems, raising awareness to do anything we can to save lives. That's what equipping the persecuted does.
Let me ask you this. How can people get involved?
We need people to partner with us monthly. For just a little over $1 a day, you can partner with Equipping the Persecuted and help save lives in Nigeria. Just $35 a month. You partner with us for as little as that and save lives in Nigeria. And we have different levels of giving. We encourage you to check out our website at equippingthepersecuted.org and partner with us today.
Well, I would encourage you all, if you are someone that is in the market for that, if you have I know so many people who were giving to other organizations and they got tired of it. In fact, I am somewhat in that category with Compassion International, which does some good work. But you kind of last time you were on the show told me about some of the waste in many of these organizations and how it works with sponsorships and stuff. And not trying to get down on that organization in particular, but I know there is a reevaluation taking place with many Christians over support for World Vision or the Voice
of
Martyrs.
We like to call them Woke Vision.
Woke Vision, yeah, right. I think after the Doge stuff, there was like that just spurred a lot of Christians to reevaluate. Where am I giving my money to missions efforts and to charity efforts? And is it actually helping? And if not, then there's other places to give it. One of them is Equipping the Persecuted. So I want people to know about that.
And also, go ahead. It's not just us, but give to the local missionary also that you know is in the field, busting their butt, doing the work for the Lord. These people don't get any attention. They don't get any notice, and they're very underfunded. So also consider your local missionaries. You know, they're a part of your churches, and just, you know, make sure they're doing the work that they're doing. But these are the guys that are underfunded that are doing the real work, making an impact, is also your local missionaries. And also, as part of Equipping the Persecuted, we do team up with local missionaries in Nigeria that are in areas that we may not be able to get to that will help fulfill part of the mission we're doing in helping persecuted Christians in their localities.
Well, let me, if we have time, get to some questions here. You got a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Sandy says, are they allowed to own guns to protect themselves in Nigeria?
No. And that's, they don't have a Second Amendment. That's their British form of government. Nigerian Christians can't protect themselves, but for some reason, the Muslim terrorists are allowed to run around the country with rocket propelled grenade launchers and AK-47s unimpeded without getting arrested. But if they catch a Christian with a gun, they're going to put him in prison.
Conceptual clarity is, it not a problem that Tucker Carlson has become so obsessed with anti-Zionism that he runs interference for Islam and joins the left in burying the truth about Nigeria?
Yes, 100%. When you start going down that road, you start laying cover for Islam every single step of the way.
Yeah. Pastor Craig Farmer, every Christmas, my church takes up an offering and sends it to some charity. I want to push as the pastor to send it to you all this year. How can we get that to you? I think you already answered that.
equippingthepersecuted.org and go on our website. You can find our address there. For those, it's 600 4th Street, Suite 229, Sioux City, Iowa, zip code 51101.
Data Zero says, is Equipping the Persecuted associated with any denomination or network of churches?
We are non-denominational and independent.
They're part of the Southern Baptist. No, I'm just kidding.
actually, they wouldn't support our mission because of enemies within the church. They told me that they wouldn't support this mission work because of my film Enemies Within the Church.
Did they really?
They did. Yeah. I went to them to do part-time missions. I said, I would like you to support me in doing part-time missions to Nigeria. Here's my thing. And they're like, we're not going to even talk about that till you stop making this film. So I'm no longer a Southern Baptist because of this.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's all right. Brianna Hill, are there popular news outlets that report on these things? I don't follow mainstream media, so I honestly don't know, but it seems to me that they don't report on the slaughter of Christians.
Since over the last 2 months, Fox News has been covering it. Thank God. Newsmax and other organizations are picking it up. So there is more outlets, covering the story, but you're not going to see it from CNN and MSNBC and the other woke news networks, but Fox is starting to cover this.
Yes. Yes. Well, I appreciate your, contribution, the help. I mean, you risked your life. I know that going into some of these regions, it is not the safest place. And so I just want you to know that that is appreciated. I hope that you get on more and more high profile interviews. I was really glad to see that you've been on Ali Stuckey, I think, had you on, and who else had you on that was a larger platform?
I was on the Timcast.
Oh, you were on Tim. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, I was on Timcast. I was on Will Cain show on Fox News for 5 minutes. And getting more exposure for this because people want to know what's going on in Nigeria. And, you know, I'm one of the guys that can talk about what's really happening there. So they're bringing me on.
All right. Well, if you are listening to this and have a platform and want to help, contact Judd. Judd, as always, God bless. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thanks for having me on.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.